This is the Linda Steele Show on News Talk 980 CKNW, now in HD. Details at cknw.com.
Well, you know, I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but they're sort of like the Jamaican bobsled team. All heart and drive, maybe not a lot of success yet. I'm talking about Mongolia's national ice hockey team. They are ranked 49th out of 49 teams in the International Ice Hockey Federation. And now that drive to excel at Canada's number one sport has inspired a local hockey coach to travel halfway around the world to document the passion that kids in Mongolia have for hockey. Listen to this.
Time to start the first practice. We want to work on some skills. We're going to start with skating. We pump our arms and we get low, so we push and we will go faster.
Ah, what an experience that would be. Nate Leslie, owner of Leslie Global Sports, joins me now in studio. That was your voice there teaching the kids. What is the Leslie Hockey Project Mongolia?
The project came about the power of the internet. We have a website, How to Play Hockey, to teach the game. And one morning, a number of months ago, an email came through from someone wanting to join from Mongolia.
And I thought, what did you think when you saw that?
It had a little IP address and flag. I had to go to Wikipedia and see if that was actually the Mongolian flag, and it was. And then I thought, wow, this is really working, this goal we have of sharing the game not only in our local community where we work, but around the world and online. It was amazing.
So then you actually came up with the idea of maybe, you know, doing a documentary about this. So that would have cost some money. What was the next step in the process?
Yeah, that was my brother and I thought we would love to get there. And if we do, we need to document this. And I ran the idea past Karen Larson and we thought, yeah, let's do it. And we knew that they didn't have the funds to get us there like some other places that we visit throughout the year. And I knew about Kickstarter, and I thought, what about Kickstarter? And we hummed and hawed and pondered and talked to people. And then when we finally hit launch, you have 30 days to make it happen or you don't get anything. And so many friends and family and hockey enthusiasts around the world donated, but you know, anywhere from $20 to $2,000 to make it happen. It was incredible.
So tell me a little bit about the kids and hockey in Mongolia. I mean, the conditions there.
It's a little bit like going back 80 or 90 years in Canada. There's 11 outdoor rinks in the whole country, all natural ice, no Zamboni. If they're lucky, they're very proud to have hot water to flood the rink, which makes, you know, it does a better job.
It's like pond
hockey. Exactly. Where there should be doors and gates, they just have gaps to go in and out of the ice. So that's like the number one parent nightmare here is when the gate is left open for 20 seconds in a hockey rink in Canada. But there, they don't even have a door attached to that gate. In one location, the boards were made out of the floorboards from old train cars.
No,
that was
great.
Inside a protected rail yard, so the boards were secure from anyone stealing them to burn them for heat. On the other hand, in the capital city, right in the city square, underneath a Genghis Khan statue, there was a rink that our friend Pooji and some friends got together, shipped from China, and it was pretty great quality, actually, the boards. But yeah, so we saw everything, but no natural ice, no Zamboni, very much a prairie Canadian feel, actually.
And where did their passion for hockey come from?
Actually, quite recently, from the Russians in the 70s and 80s.
That makes sense.
For example, Pooji, who's in his low 40s, I would guess, although still plays every day and coaches every day, said that as a kid growing up in the 70s, they would sit by the boards watching the Russians, just hoping for a puck to come over the boards or a stick to break that they could take home and tape back together to use. And then, obviously, it's a long, cold, dry winter. The kids will play for hours and hours in minus 25 to 28 degrees, no toque, no mitts, and their fingers are purple,
hardy.
But they still function. And yeah. I'm from Manitoba. I should be able to handle that kind of thing, and I couldn't, not nearly like they did.
Wow. So you actually did produce a documentary. What's it called?
It's called Project Mongolia, Rinks of Hope.
Yes, and some very lucky people are going to get to see it tonight here in Vancouver.
Yes, it is sold out, a combination of our Kickstarter backers that are local, some hockey enthusiasts, family and friends, lots of media, and we have two reserved for two lucky CKNW listeners.
All right. Well, we're going to pause on that note, and we will give away those tickets when we come back. More with Nate Leslie on his Rinks of Hope documentary when we come back.
This is the Linda Steele Show on News Talk 980 CKNW, now in HD. Details at cknw.com.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me, I am talking to Nate Leslie, the owner of Leslie Global Sports. We're talking about a documentary that he has shot in Mongolia with the kids there playing hockey, and it's going to air tonight in Vancouver. And we do have two tickets to give away to someone who wants to call me right now at 604-280-9898. That's star 9898 on your cell. Here's just a little sound of this documentary.
I've thought Gobi Desert, I've thought nomadic people, I've thought Genghis Khan, Chinggis Khan, as they call them here, and yurts. I had no idea about hockey.
It sounds so interesting. Nate Leslie's in the studio. Tell me, when you first arrived and you saw the kids out on one of these sort of pond hockey rinks, what were the conditions like? What did you see?
A mix of 6 to 60-year-old, almost exclusively male players.
6 to 60?
6 to 60, a mix of some kids public skating, others firing pucks around, no one with great equipment. Some with great equipment, others with whatever they could find. No one running into each other or stepping on their bare fingers or banging their head or a little kid getting hit with a puck. Just like the informal learning that is kind of from the bygone days in Canada for us, right? With sort of the age of liabilities and helicopter parenting. It was that was the first thing that I saw was it was the community out there sharing the ice, kind of structured, but kind of just freewheeling it and everyone doing fine.
So you spent a week there. What did you do?
We thought originally we would be in the capital, and then the temperature started to warm the week before we got there, and they suggested that maybe we go north into the villages. Mm-hmm. We thought, perfect, we would absolutely love to. So we got through about 5 cities and villages, making our way 80 kilometers south of the Russian border, and about 3 or 4 hours off the highway over the frozen tundra, no roads, stumbling, you know, coming to this little village where there was 105 kids waiting for us on the ice.
And very excited.
And cell phone calls from the Secret Service saying the president of Mongolia knows you're in the country and would like to meet you this weekend when
really?
You're back in the capital. Yeah. Unfortunately, he never made it.
How did the kids react to you?
I like to say kind of like if you took some soccer balls to a village in Africa, you know, they just wanted to touch our skates and borrow our stick and, you know, show their buddy and bring it back. And they came out of nowhere and they'd watch you tie your skates and like nothing we imagined, actually. We didn't know what to imagine, but it was more rewarding and touching the whole community being out there to watch and support the mayor of the town and all the families and cows and nomads on horseback and in the villages. And really, if you Googled images of Mongolia, you know, that's what you'd find.
Well, and you were saying that, you know, they probably were shocked to look at the kind of equipment you had, because how far do they have to go to get their own, to buy their own hockey equipment?
The closest hockey shop is a 15-hour train ride away in Siberia, so far. Amazingly, and it kind of inspired us, in the towns that had a sponsor, for example, a lambskin company or a mining company, they had a lot of gear and the kids were stronger players and there was more structure and everything was more organized because it facilitated that. So we realized very quickly we need skates and sticks on the ground there in Mongolia and the game will grow.
You did bring some stuff with you though, right?
We did. We brought about 600 pounds of gear. We had Kids Sport Charity in Coquitlam helped out with a ton of it. A family, a mother and her 7-year-old in New York City came on the trip with, they raised
really?
About $9,000 to ship and bring and buy gear in the
That's
New York
wonderful.
Community. And then actually the NHLPA stepped up and just recently, about a month ago, finally shipped 25 sets of gear
That's
for
fantastic.
The kids there. They sent jerseys with us, but people stepped up from, you know, family and friends to charities across North America.
The Bauer
America.
Family as well?
Yes, E.J. Bauer, the nephew of Father David Bauer, who builds amazing rinks all over. He might be listening right now. He's on a stop over here in Vancouver
nice.
From Beijing to
Welcome.
Toronto and will join us tonight. Yeah.
And that family also donated a bunch of skates, right?
Yeah, EJ brought two bags. He brought about 50 pairs of skates with him, yeah.
So your message is these kids need more gear and you're interested in trying to get it to them.
Yeah, that's, I think, the barrier. You know, as I mentioned in the break, I could fly gear myself cheaper than I could ship it. So, you know, there are mining companies in the city of Vancouver that are, you know, doing business there all the time. And things like that. We just know there's a partner out there that can get, you know, a little spare room in their container and help us out. And as soon as we say we need gear, the phone starts ringing and people start emailing. They say, we've got all this gear and we've been wondering what to do with it.
How do people reach you?
On my website, thank you very much. It's pretty easy to find me. lgsports.ca would be fantastic.
Okay, I think we have a winner for the two tickets for tonight's show. Are we going to talk to Walt briefly? Walt on the line? No, we're not going to. But Walt, congratulations for the tickets. For anyone who's interested in seeing this documentary, you might be able to see it in March.
Yeah, the Ambassador to Mongolia will be here in March, and one of our guests tonight is a researcher at UBC doing research on Mongolia. There's a large Mongolian community here, so our plan is to find a venue, perhaps hopefully at UBC, to show it in March. And, you know, it's a real grassroots thing, so to be honest, I'm also taking it, you know, to a minor hockey association in Seattle in a month and showing it there and going to help them do a fundraiser with it. So contact me if you want to see it, and I'll be there. We can spread the word together.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much for joining me. Have fun tonight.
Linda, thank you for having me.
Okay, that is Nate Leslie, owner of Leslie Global Sports, and his show Rinks of Hope, Project Mongolia, airing tonight and again, hopefully in March. Thanks for coming in. We've got all the day's top stories coming up next on News Talk 980 CKNW.